part of the conversation, send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Navigating the chronicles of marriage, yeah, to marriage actually, not just off marriage, but also to marriage. I hear Muruti that marriage is a buffet. Bathi kumnandi emshadweni, bathi everything is on the table. You choose what makes it what it becomes. You know, today many people declare love to each other in many different ways. And I'm not saying that, you know, you must not be made to feel special, but in a relationship, it's very important that we celebrate each other. And I wanted to talk relationships, married or single. We can all learn a thing or two from, I think, one of the best marriage therapists I know, Pastor Gwala. Good morning to you. Thank you for accepting our invitation.
Morning, morning, Millie. Morning to your listeners and viewers at home. It's a pleasure that I could join in my busy schedule, but we will navigate this journey together.
Thank you so much. Really do appreciate that. Pella, today is a day of love. It is February the 14th, and many people are going to be celebrating. And some people will say, I don't believe in Valentine's Day, which, you know, it's here. It's neither here nor there. I mean, some people believe it, some people don't. But I know that a person could walk away feeling like, because other people are buying people flowers and chocolates and me, I don't get anything, you know? I don't know. Maybe we should start there. The feelings, different feelings that each of us get about seeing other people being appreciated by their significant others and you feeling like, my one never does anything. Is it a love language thing?
Oh, are we starting there? Okay. all right. Look, we are created differently. And because we're created differently, there are people who are gifted to do things. And there are people who are just gifted to be thoughtful. And there are some people who appreciate insight, who never share how they appreciate you. And therefore, because of that, there are always variations between people. Don't compare them because you will be disappointed. Some are romantic, some are not, some are loving, some don't show it. And therefore, you chose that individual. Therefore, learn to know how that person loves. You've mentioned something very important, the issue of love languages. We respond differently to different things. And therefore, as you go out today, just remember that don't compare your person. He is himself or she is herself. Mm. Therefore, you chose to love that individual. Learn how that individual wants to be loved and how you should love that individual. Therefore, Valentine's, it's not only a day. Valentine's, it's a lifetime.
Okay.
This is you learning to love, learning to know, learning to understand the person you've chosen to be with.
Otherwise, you made your bed, lie in it.
That's correct.
Okay, no. I hear you. You know, Muruti, this one is very serious. I feel like something went wrong somewhere in our relations with each other as men and women. Do you also feel the tension between the two genders in our society?
Yeah, maybe before we even start there, we need to realize the beauty of relationships. If there were no relationships, we would be very frustrated. We would be very lonely. Relationships are actually assisting us to live the best out of ourselves. However, I also want us to understand that beauty comes with complexities. Complexities because every human institution has its own complexities. And the complexities, they range from spiritual, emotional, cultural, and even social in its dimensions. And therefore, as we relate to each other, we must be mindful of that. Therefore, back to your question, is there something wrong? The answer is equivocally, yes, there is. And you might want to know, where is this tension and how did it start and what started it? Now, as a Bible reader, I understand that tensions are old stories. They are not just something that has started now. They started way back in the biblical times. If you are reading the Bible, in the first two chapters, it is very clear there that God created two people equal in all respects, but with different responsibilities. But you notice that in chapter 3, there comes a differentiation. If you are looking at chapter 3, there is a verse there that says, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.
Hey.
Now, that was never part of the creation God made.
Mm.
That happened as a consequence of sin that entered into our terrain. Therefore, immediately you are seeing their power dynamics, which were not there
before
in creation.
Mm.
You are seeing there communication issues that are going to come up because the two people now are not on equal footing.
Mm-hmm.
You are also seeing trust issues that would come in because, you are in a higher pedestal. Therefore, the trust level against you is put on a higher pedestal. And therefore, if you fail that, you then create a problem in the relationship. Then the issue of mutual respect would now not be something that was there originally, because now the respect must be more on the person who is in charge, more than the two of you being equal in all respect.
Yeah.
Therefore, these are issues that you discover as you are reading the Bible in the olden days. But in the modern day tension, we pick up that there are historical injustices which are causing a lot of tensions between the people when they reflect and look back at what has happened to them. We also understand that there are also cultural distortions that came into the picture. For instance, the issue of headship and the issue of leadership. They have been completely confused, and the culture has been in the middle of that. And then we are also seeing ideologies that have been developed that are reactionary to issues of relationships. And therefore, we are also seeing issues of lack of emotional maturity creeping in. Therefore, all these things, they are making the two genders to be completely, completely different. Yeah. But I don't want to leave it there. I want to say, thank God that when he observed these distinctions and the challenges they were presenting in relationships, then through his son, he restored what he did in Genesis 1 and 2 and by his death on Mount Calvary. Now, he then left us with one thing that is important. He then says in Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Therefore, that is taking us back to where we were, even though there is tension. Therefore, this simply means that if I do not have a relationship with this Christ, I would live in that kind of a tension. But with Christ, there is a change in me. There's a change in how I look and view relationships. And there's a change in how I interact with the person I chose. Therefore, many marriages are in trouble. Many relationships are in trouble today because we have not listened. We have not identified with Christ who restored what was broken. Therefore, I think let me pause there, Emily.
I think that was a very beautiful history, very substantive as well, you know. At some point, my heart was very sore, like, yo, so this is very real. And then you came full circle. If I'm being honest, at some point, I'm like, yo. Hi, Mugelu, sinking in, kushukuthila. But then you came back full circle and you're like, no, man, Jesus restored, healthy relations between the two genders. So no one should be tsindezelelaring anyone basically anymore. And I'm really grateful for that. So if we are believers, it's unfortunate that even in the church, we have so many issues. You know, the divorce rates are high. There isn't an understanding of how to communicate all those beautiful things that we see emjolweni, we don't see in the marriage. It's very unfortunate. If you are listening in and you would also like to weigh in on the conversation, we have a WhatsApp number, +27734703520. Given everything that you have mentioned, Omurudi, let's talk then about how, you know, married couples honestly should be able to then make marriage work. Maybe we should stop with those. Let's talk about the married ones. We're going to talk about the single people. That's fine. We're going to talk about the single people as well. Some people will say that there isn't a one-size-fits-all. What works for one couple might not work for another. But the basics, né, that all of us should be able to have or should be able to do right, especially as maybe people who know God, what should those be?
Thank you very much. I normally have sessions with couples. And when I meet with the couples, I say there are six basic things that must be reflected in your relationship. And those six basic things, the first one is maturity.
Ooh.
If you are not matured, you are not going to survive in your relationship. Therefore, maturity becomes a key in how you handle yourself and in how you do things in your relationship. And the challenge with maturity is that the line that divides maturity and immaturity is very thin, even between men and women. I normally make an example of a car that if you are a man and you are driving responsibly on the road, and an older car comes in and wants to overtake you, and you are with your family, and it appears as if it's an embarrassment to you, you then begin to chase that car, to overtake that car, speeding more than you should. Now, at that time, immaturity has crept in without you even knowing. Therefore, in relationships, that's what happens. Even before you know, some elements of immaturity creep in and they destroy your relationship. Therefore, that's the first thing, which to me is basic. The second thing that is basic is love. It is important for you to learn to love and to learn to be loved. And we all know that we don't respond the same way to love. I need to learn how my person loves to be loved, and how I want to love this person. Therefore, love becomes a key. The Bible puts it nicely. It says, "Ikubungela inkitha yezono," when love is there. Therefore, that to me is your basic thing. Then the third one would be submission. We need to learn to submit to one another. Remember, we are created in the image of God, and as we were created, things are happening in our world, as I've indicated in your first question. And as these things are happening, they make us feel sometimes powerful. They make us feel sometimes we are right to do certain things. They make us to feel that certain things are not supposed to be done by us. Therefore, when those things are hurting each other, it is important for us to learn to submit, learn to apologize, learn to accept that your view is not the best view, learn to know that someone else can say something better than you. Therefore, that submission to one another is another important key in relationships. Then the fourth one, it is important to know that Christ needs to be central in your relationship. As I've indicated earlier on, if you miss Christ, you miss your relationship, because Christ must be the one of the corners in your triangle so that your relationship moves on nicely. Remember in the wedding at Cana of Galilee, there were people who were getting married. Unbeknown to them, wine was ended. It was not there. It dried up. And who solved the problem? It was not the people who were there. It was not the people who went to buy or prepare the wine. It was Jesus, because it was an emergency. People needed to have wine. And therefore, if you exclude Christ in your relationship, when emergencies come, who is going to solve your emergencies? Who's going to help you? Therefore, he becomes central in the relationship. Then the fifth one is that there is no relationship without communication. None of us is a fortune teller. We don't, we are not endowed with those responsibilities. We are not endowed to know the future in the present. We're not endowed to know how people think and what will they say. Therefore, communication becomes a key in relationships. Therefore, communicate, communicate, communicate. Communication never bores anyone in a relationship. That's basic. The last one is prayer. We know it's important for us to pray for our relationship, to pray for each other.
Yeah.
And those, to me, are key things, basic. Others you can add to make sure that your relationship is floating. But the basic, the key ones are those six things in my mind that would help your relationship move forward.
Thank you so much for sharing those, Pastor. If you're just joining us right now at 22:09, the six basic things that every single relationship needs to have is maturity, love, submission, Christ as the center, communication, and a prayer. Those six are extremely imperative as a basic. You know, as you were speaking, somewhere there, I'm like thinking, Muruti, I know they often talk about being unequally yoked. The other one that creeped into my mind is the issue of maybe jealousy in relationships. I don't know if it's jealousy per se, but I don't know. Ladies, should ladies find themselves... How should I put this, Muruti? Must I just be blunt?
Is it jealousy or competition?
Both are a problem. I don't know which one it is. But, you know, a part of me is wondering, Muruti, about sometimes, I'll use the ladies as an example. Do you think that sometimes the issues that are in relationships is because a woman, sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but a woman marries down, whatever down means, like indifferent, there's different levels of down, and then it causes issues. You know, when you were talking about maybe someone knows how to communicate this better, maybe you've got someone who is really good at articulating herself, and when are you, you're not that great at that, or she's smarter than you? Is that something that I can say? Or are those things wrong to say? And it causes clashes because sometimes you're like, hey, Mara, the way this person thinks. And you see things that they don't see because you're like, I think I'm smarter than this person, but they don't want to acknowledge the truth. Please talk on those issues.
You know what I've observed in my short life is that you are never attracted by someone who does not resemble what you know. It could be a personal trait of your mother. It could be a personal trait of your sister or of your father. Therefore, whenever you are attracted, it's always you are attracted by something that that thing that attracts you resembles. And therefore, you would notice that attraction knows no social status. I can be a professor and be attracted to a cleaner. Mm. I can be a wealthy person and be attracted to the poor of the poorest. Therefore, attraction knows no cluster. And therefore, it is also important to also know that when whom you think you are smart, you have chosen to be with someone you consider not smart. Therefore, you need to come down to her or his level because you chose to be with that individual. And you pull that individual. I think Christ gave us a good example. He was God. And because he wanted us to be in the kingdom one day, he came down. He pulled all of us so that we could be with him in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Ne?
And therefore, he took us from where we are, we were, to where he wants us to be. In relationships, that's very, very important.
Okay.
You marry someone who is not at what you want. Take, go to the level of that person, pull that person up.
And if being a phony...
Say that again.
If they don't want, you're on your own. Kemanj.
Remember, you chose that person.
Mm.
And if you chose that person, I know for a fact that God does not like divorce. That he hates it, according to the Bible. Therefore, when you choose someone, you must always be mindful of the consequences of your choice.
Mm.
And therefore, try to pull someone. Sometimes the way we pull them, it's wrong. We need to go back to the drawing board so that we see if I'm belittling my spouse, obviously she's not going to feel comfortable to be pulled up. I also need to show to her the need of both of us going up, because the minute I take you to a psychologist and sit outside and say, you are sick, go there, do you think you would go? No, you won't. But if I say to you, man, I want our relationship to be good. I want us to go and see a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And I go with you. We sit there. Even though I know that I may not be having any issues. You have issues. But we're going there together. And that makes a difference. Sometimes how we pull them in a very wrong way. And they react. Therefore, you need always to go back to the drawing board and see how can you pull your individual. There are people who have done this successfully.
Yeah.
Of course, there are people who struggle to do it because of various reasons. Therefore, I'm saying love knows no bounds. We cannot sit here and say you must marry a smart person if you're smart. We can't say that. We want to say if you are smart, make sure your partner is not embarrassed by your smartness. You accommodate her and you show her that she can also at some point be smart because of how you manage and handle yourself.
I know, indeed. This is solid advice. Thank you, Muruti. Thank you very much. I want us to now open the conversation up to those who for a very long time have been wanting to get married but have not been able to be successful in that department, yeah? Are there Bible characters who were single and really happy?
Who were single? Okay. I think the first thing that we need to realize is that singleness is a default position.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have been single at some point. And some of us will end up being single again. Therefore, the state of singleness to me is the most important state, more than the one for marriage, because marriage is visited and sometimes it doesn't work, or sometimes it ends the way it would end. And then when it has ended, you come back to your default position, which is singleness. In the Bible, we have few examples of people who were single and were fulfilled. The first of those is Dorcas. We have not heard anything that says Dorcas, because she was single, she was a widow, she was a burden to people. We know that instead of her being a burden, she was the hope of the community, and she was fulfilled. We also know the second person that was single, Apostle Paul. Bible puts it very nicely. And Apostle Paul speaks positively about singleness. And we know he achieved a lot as a single person. Apostle Paul was a professor. Apostle Paul was part of a Sanhedrin, a committee that was the highest committees in those days. And we know Apostle Paul is a writer who wrote a number of books in the New Testament. Therefore, in his singleness, he was fulfilled. We also know that Jeremiah in the Old Testament was single. And he was instructed by God not to marry, because marriage is as a result of God. He is the one who created this institution. And then Jeremiah was a happy individual without being married. We also know that Christ himself never got married, and he was happy on this earth. And he says he's giving us an example. And he gave us an example by being in the default position of being single. And in that singleness, he showed us how important it is to live your life. I think for now, I'm going to confine myself to those examples. There are a number of them that we could look at still in the Bible.
Yeah, that's very true. There are quite a number of other people who we can locate in the Bible as being single. Is it a gift, though, singleness? And how do you know that it's not a gift for you? Is it when you have a desire for marriage, then you know, would say, nah, I don't have the gift of singleness. I mean, I don't have it. Because I've heard singleness being referred to as a gift. So, yeah, if you desire, I mean, Jeremiah, that example that you gave, what if Jeremiah wanted to get married and then God was like, nope, you're not going to get married? He never really had the gift. It was just like, you are not going to get married. Because, I don't know, I say you're not going to get married. I don't know.
Before I read a particular text, or I refer you to a particular text,
Yeah. Let
me say this. In my reading of the Bible, there are three things that are very important to people who are single.
Okay.
The first one is that you are someone who is going to marry. Therefore, you are single, but your singleness is delayed.
Mm.
And then the second one is that there are people who desire to get married, but they will not get that opportunity to get married. The third one is that there are people who decide that we are not going to get married, and they choose like that.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you have three kinds of people. And therefore, you may be belonging to one of them. Let's say, for argument's sake, you want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, no right man comes your way. And you see that things will not happen the way you want them. That's how life is. Therefore, there are those three dynamics that you need to look at. Then let's come to your question that says, is singleness a gift? The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, says there are two gifts. There's a gift of marriage and a gift of singleness. Therefore, when you are married, it is not because you are a marriage material. It is because you are gifted to be married. And you may also be gifted not to be married. That's why there's a gift for singleness. Now, what does this gift mean? This gift means a lot of things. First of all, it means I can be content without marriage. Very important issue of contentment. The second one, it means I can be free to serve God without marital longing demanding my life. That's what Apostle Paul puts it, a freedom to serve. I am also free to develop myself the way I want to without me being responsible to someone else. And I can also use my time the way I want to without reporting to any other person. Therefore, freedom, contentment is very important if you are single. Mm-hmm. Now, what then is important? If one deeply desires marriage, it likely means that they do not have the gift of lifelong singleness. Remember what I said earlier on, that you may want to get married, but you are not. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there is no guarantee that you are going to get married. It's a gift. Okay. Therefore, a gift. Who guarantees you a gift?
God.
There is no guarantee for a gift that you are going to get married, you are going to be single. Therefore, this is a gift. Now, I want you to notice a few things here. Desire is not a sin. If you are a young person and you desire, it is not a sin. And it should not be made a sin. The second one is delay is not a denial. It is not you are not going to marry because you are delayed. And the third one, God's timing is not punishment. Some people get married at their old age, and they have been single the rest of their lives and at their old age. I know of a couple that is married now at age 78. They've never married before, but now they are married. Therefore, his timing is not a punishment. I want you to actually know that as a single person. And if you know that, it will actually help you to see things differently.
I think that's really, I think that's really substantive. But someone might say, okay, Muruti, I hear you. I see the delay. You know, all those things. Can I go to Christian dating websites? Okay.
Look, Christian dating sites have their good side and they also have their bad side, like any other. Now, I want you to know something which is very important, is that when you decide to go to the Christian dating sites, the first thing that you must have spiritual discernment. Because in the dating sites, everybody there is a marriage material. And if you do not have a discerning mind, you are going to land into a hot issue than you were. The second one is, in those dating sites, of course, I said desires are not a problem. It's easy for you to be hyped there, and it's easy for you there to make wrong decisions. Therefore, accountability is very important. Account to yourself and account to your God. Very key. And thirdly, when you are in those dating sites, be patient. Don't rush into things because you may rush and you may crash at the end. Then you must also have clear boundaries, because if you don't, you are going to be inviting a stranger into your life. And that stranger may destroy you unbeknownst to you. All right? And sorry. And I also want you to know that when you are on these online platforms, you must always guard against deception, because the devil himself is also in everything that we do. And therefore, he can channel someone to you. And therefore, you are in trouble. Therefore, that's why you must always guard against deception. Character must be tested in real life. Don't test character on fake life that is on social media.
Okay.
It must be tested in real life. And community input is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever make a decision on your own on a dating site. Consult those who are closer to you. They may easily see red flags which you don't see because you are blinded by love.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, those are important things that you need to look at.
Therefore,
you should never replace a prayer with online platforms. Never replace counsel with online platforms. And never replace spiritual maturity with online platforms. Those platforms are there, but never replace the three things I've mentioned.
Okay. Perfect. I think I love that. You know, maybe back to the married people, Muruti. No, let's stay with the single people. Let's spread that with the married ones. Does the church provide support groups for those who are single, those who are divorced as well?
As far as I know, one of the areas where we are struggling as a community of faith is in the issue of support to those that are disadvantaged, if I may put it that way, or to those that are vulnerable. We are struggling as a church community. However, we do have capacity to have support groups. We do have capacity for counseling sessions and services. We also do have capacity for training purposes so that they know that where they are, it is not the end of the day. And we can be able to provide these so that we help our people move forward. We can make sure that we do have divorce recovery groups, because some people, after divorce, they don't remain the same. They are hurt, they are injured, and they even hate that God. It's important for us to have those recovery groups. Single people make mistakes. We know at their young age, they do want to keep to what God wants them to do. But as you grow older, there's that yearning of having a child. And sometimes they make a lot of mistakes in that space because there's no counseling, there's no group that is supporting them. There's no way to assist them. If you want a child, what can you do? Something that is not going to contradict your faith. Therefore, as a church community, I think we are failing our young people in that area because we are not upfront in ensuring that they are assisted and they are living within what God wants them to live. And therefore, I would suggest that as a church community, we restore the dignity of the single people. Because in the church, most of the times, we do programs for married couples. Married couples are the ones that are respected. Even in the elections, if we're electing someone, is he married or is she married? And this person is divorced. No, she can't talk to our people because what will they learn from him or from her? Therefore, we need to restore people's dignity as a church community. Therefore, I think let me end there.
Very poignant, Mfundisi. Because we want to be people who are also accountable and, like the buck stops with me, what can I do? If a person is married and they're listening, their individual part in making sure that their marriage thrive, regardless of what your partner does, what are the things you can do just to make sure we see when on your part, you're doing all in your power to make this marriage thing work.
Sorry, there are things that a husband would do. There are things that a wife would do. But there are also things that we do as a couple. For instance, a husband leads through service, not control. Leadership is in the realm of the husband. The second one is the husband needs to protect the emotional and spiritual state of the family. Therefore, that is in the realm of the husband. Communicate openly as a person who has been given leadership abilities in the family. That's in the realm of the husband. Pray for your family. That's in the realm of the husband. Those four things are very, very important for a husband. Now, the wife, the first thing that a wife would do is to offer respect and partnership, because this is their relationship. Therefore, she needs to offer that partnership and respect. Secondly, she needs to support and the vision of the family, and she needs to support the shared goals of the family. And the third one, she also needs to communicate clearly, because you cannot be in a relationship if you cannot communicate. She needs to build emotional intimacy in the family. Very important, those four things for a woman to focus on. Then for both of them, it is important that they practice forgiveness, because as they are together, there are things they are not going to agree on. There are things they are going to hurt each other on. They need to practice forgiveness. They need to avoid score keeping. I'm doing these things. You are not doing these things. You are that and that and that. Score keeping is for people with grudge, not people that love and care for each other. And they must protect intimacy. No one must be able to enter into their bedroom, even through thought. They must not allow any other person. They need to protect the intimacy between the two of them. They need to continue dating each other, because dating time is the most exciting time than the marriage time. Therefore, if they take out dating in their marriage, they are going to struggle and not know how things are supposed to be done, how love is supposed to be shared. They need to seek help eagerly when they are struggling, because there are times where they will struggle and they definitely need to seek help, and they must not be shy. I know we men don't want to seek help. We run away. We think everything is in control. But I must say to this platform today, we need more help than women as men, because we need to be taught how to accommodate. We need to be taught how we accept other views. We need to accept that we do make mistakes in the process. And therefore, the only person that can help us is a therapist. Help. Otherwise, without that help, we will continue to suppress those we live with.
No. 100%. Thank you so much, Pastor Kwala. This has been really impactful. Can you please share how people can get a hold of you? Because I know you do therapy.
Yes. I'm based in East London. I do face-to-face. I also do virtual sessions. And my number is 083-7498-675. And my email address is mzonzimag@gmail.com. And you can reach me. We will talk. I do counseling for couples. I do counseling for singles. I do grief counseling. And I also do preparatory counseling for people who want to get married. Therefore, if you have a need, please extend. I'm also a member of a counseling group in South Africa, and I'm one of the evaluators of people that are supposed to be in that space in the religious sphere. Therefore, you're dealing with someone who has been in this for quite a number of years. I started counseling way back in 1996. Therefore, at least you can see that it's someone who has been there for quite some time.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you want to reach me, please do so. You can call me. You can send a WhatsApp. You can also email me. Thank you very much, Millie. And thank you to the listeners and viewers at home.
Thank you so much, Pastor. I think This was really an amazing conversation for us to have. You got it there. If you did not get the details nicely, don't worry. This will be podcasted on AWR. So if you've got the app, Adventist World Radio, SID Media, it's going to be podcasted during the week. Or, of course, because it is a video, you can just go and rewatch the video again. If you go to YouTube or you go to Facebook and you go to SID Media on YouTube, check under live, and right there you will be able to then to get a hold of the full conversation that we just had. Have a beautiful rest of the day, Muruti, and to you who's joining us, of course, hopefully we can speak again in the near future. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
And that's where we leave it. 6 minutes after 9. Are we late or are we late? A very good morning to you, me and you. The clock up and happy, happy Kausani, because right now my time is up. Millicent Ndiweni is my name. And meet me and join us tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. This one is called The Glorious Morning.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.